following the encouragements of this initial group, they thought, right, we're gonna really seek to invest and move forward. What they didn't realise was that the guy whom they called George, his real name was apparently now Kui, had gone back to the tribe. It's the guy they'd given the plane ride, had gone back to the tribe and hadn't communicated the fact that this was a group of guys who were quite friendly, who wanted to get to know them and wanted to befriend them and all that sort of thing. This guy went back to the tribe and he told them that they'd come to kill them. So the next thing this group know, as they land in their plane on the 8th of January on this beach, and they see this group, a large group, coming at them from this tribe with spears, and they kill them. They speared Elliot and his four companions. Elliot's body was found downstream along with those of the other men. One of them was later found further downstream. And it's one of those stories that kind of has such kind of excitement and potential, but then seemingly just didn't quite come to anything. His journal on October 28th, 1949, Elliot said, expressed his belief that work dedicated to Jesus was more important than his life. He quoted Luke 9:24, "For whoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Now, as my preamble kind of gave away, that wasn't the end of the story. Elizabeth, his wife, spent 2 years subsequently to her husband's death working amongst the tribe. She went back with their daughter, or her daughter by then, and actually befriended those who had killed her husband and his companions. And as the story develops and goes on, there's this exciting truth that tribe and many from within it discover Jesus. Many within it made that decision to live a different life. Now, if we look at this story, as we've looked at various stories already in this series, it's easy to maybe just pull a quick response out of it, or a quick idea of how we should engage with it. I think as we look at Jim Elliot's story, and there's a lot more detail to it, and you can look at it in a lot more depth, I think initially we can consider his background and ask the questions of ourselves, what is it that we're modeling? If you look at Jim Elliot, here's someone who was clearly impacted by his parents, irrelevant of kind of the story of him with the Indians and all those sorts of things. Here's someone whose upbringing made a massive impact in a very positive way for the gospel. And not saying that as some kind of guilt trip, or, well, it's Father's Day, so we've got to bring this sort of thing in. But we see here someone who had modeled to him from day one the importance of growing in God, of developing that relationship with him. The impact that his father's had on him was massive. That's asking that question of ourselves, I think, what is it that we are modeling to those around us? What is it that we're modeling within our own families? What is it that we're modeling within the life of this church, the community of believers, the body of Christ that God has called us to here? How are we seeing those opportunities and taking them for all that they are? Secondly, I think it's about considering his determination. Maybe asking the question of ourselves, what life choices are we making? Now, I'm not suggesting that we're all called to go to far-flung corners of the world. For some, that is maybe what God is saying. But for the majority of us, I'm guessing, and it is just a guess, the most of us, that's not what God is saying. But I think there is that question of whether I'm living with the same resolve, the same passion, the same grit and determination that we see in an individual such as Jim Elliot, seeking to grab hold of the purposes that God has for us and give them everything that we have. I wonder how many of us can very easily just meander through life. We kind of know we're doing vaguely the right thing. We're kind of heading in the right direction. So really, does it matter that much? Reading this week, writer responding to Acts 2 and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This minister, he makes a comment on Acts 2 and he says, drunk people do crazy things. They don't care what other people think. They lose their fear of man. They're not concerned about humiliation. And they're not worried about the consequences. Someone who's following Jesus, I need to be seeking to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit day in, day out. I need God's power working within me, because otherwise I don't have a chance. However much we might think we can achieve things, however much we might think we can do it by ourselves, we can't. We need God's help. We need his power. And when the Holy Spirit fell on Pentecost, the people thought they were all drunk. They thought they were drunk on wine. And Peter clearly says, no, it's not wine, it's something completely different, something so much better. Let me tell you about it. And I wonder whether sometimes we need that passion within us to say, actually, this is what I believe. This is what I'm about. This is the difference I want to make. Because I think we can live with the same drive that saw Jim Elliot fly to a country completely foreign to him, seeking to reach out to a group of people who just wanted to kill him. We can live with the same drive but never leave battle. Because actually this is where we're meant to be. This is where God has placed us. This is where he calls us to live our lives. And that's brilliant, because we can have just as great an impact here, living with such similar passion as we read and hear about in this story. So I think we need to ask, what are we modeling? I think we need to ask, what life choices are we making? And then thirdly, I think we need to consider his legacy. Consider the legacy of someone like Jim Elliot. And ask the question, what part are we playing in the ongoing story? What part are we playing in the ongoing story? You research Jim Elliot. He is kind of the focus from within this group. He's the person who most people kind of talk about. He's the name on the books and all that sort of stuff. But actually, it's his wife Elizabeth who went back after her husband's death and continued on the work of sharing the gospel with that group of people. It would have been very easy for her, and we'd probably also, completely justifiable to kind of go, actually, I don't want anything to do with them. The last thing I'm going to do is go anywhere near them. And I'm certainly not going to take my daughter, because she's kind of all I've got left or whatever. But she went back. And we see the lives, and we hear about the lives of that group of people being completely transformed because of what she did. Asking that question, what part are we playing in the ongoing story? Because what's interesting is she didn't actually stay there for the rest of her life. She spent 2 years working with that group of UCA and then returned to the US. She spent 2 years working amongst them and then left them. And imagine the story went on beyond her. I doubt it was just those 2 years that suddenly transformed her and that was the end of it. But actually it was the part that she played following the part that her husband and those other men played. I think sometimes we need to recognize the bigger picture of life and the part that we're called to play. Recognizing that actually we're on this stage, so to speak, for a short time really. But actually, how are we going to make the most of it? How are we going to give all that we can? How are we going to grasp the opportunities that God sets before us and be used by him? So we've looked at different individuals in this series. A few weeks ago, I talked about Maximilian Kolb, known as the Saint of Auschwitz. And his story was of someone who dealt with extreme human hardship at the hands of other human beings. but something that was beyond kind of his control in many ways. It wasn't something that he kind of chose. Whereas you look at Jim Elliot, and some might say, well, didn't he put himself in harm's way, really? If we're honest, wasn't he a bit of an idiot? Why did he do that? Surely, if he'd have just stayed in the US where he lived, he'd have grown up and his daughter would have had a father and all these sorts of things, and it doesn't make sense. But there's a quote that's often attributed to him. And it says, "He is no fool who parts with that which he cannot keep, when he is sure to be recompensed with that which he cannot lose." And in many ways, it's taking Luke 9:24 to heart. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but for whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. God may be calling you to Ecuador, in all seriousness. That may be what God is saying. God may be actually calling you to China or to Timbuktu, or some other place that I'm not even going to be able to pronounce, kind of, because it's just some random place that I've never heard of. Maybe none of us have. And actually, we need to be open to the reality that I think God sometimes does call us to go to new places, to do new things, and to go completely off the seeming beaten track that many will walk. Then again, God may not call you to any of those places. And actually, where you find yourselves right now is where God wants you to do the things that God has gifted you to do in this place, in this community. May we recognize that, seeing it not as just I guess then this is all I've got, really. This is my lot in life. Or actually kind of, well, I'm just here waiting until something else comes along, until the next phase, because that's going to be really good. Or actually thinking kind of, my life is a bit of a punishment, really. Maybe because of what I've done or the things I've been through, and actually this is it, because, well, this is what I deserve, really. But actually that we will see power of God at work in each of us, receiving the purposes that he has for us, and seek to walk into all that is ahead of us for his glory. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for the fact that you call each of us to follow you. You call each of us to live for you. That looks very different for each of us. I pray that you may help us to seek the bigger picture guidance in life of what you have before us, Lord. I pray that you will help us to seek the daily outpouring of your Holy Spirit to enable us to be all that you long for us to be in this place. I pray, Lord, that you will free us from any idea that you don't want to use us, or that we're just winding down, or that because of what's happened in the past, we're no longer really going to be any good to you. Help us to hear your voice in this, Lord, and respond. Amen.